So we'll start here today, but there's one sugya, one last point in Perek Noto. There's two halacha l'maisa not to mention at all. So I just feel halacha l'maisa has to come first. So just a few minutes, just one sugya just shows up there and doesn't really show up as clearly in other places. So the Mishnah says in the Edv Noto that if there's a l'shleshes, the shmutz on a pillow, so mekancha b'smartut, you could clean it off with a smartut, a dry rag. So that's an important halacha. Happens, you know, very, very often. A little bit of chum falls on the suit, so you're allowed to take a napkin or a towel and clean it off. And that's the din. Basically, that's the straight din l'maisa. Until the Mishnah Brura, there's really no one who even qualified that din at all. The Mishnah Brura, some accept as Mishnah Brura wants to have a chumrah here, but that's the din. That's the basic din, is what the Mishnah says. You're allowed to clean your clothes on Shabbos. So the Shaila is, and this is no geya, if there's any room for chumrah here, is that it's a little bit surprising that that should be mutter. Right? It's a little bit surprising because one of the lamites malachos is malabing, which is cleaning the wool to be used. And from that comes the issur of mechabes, of cleaning clothes, washing clothes, getting the dirt and filth off of clothes. Laundering clothes is issur d'oraisa. So why on earth is this mutter? Why should it be mutter? I think most of us probably just seeing the Mishnah, just giving Stam Heter, is a little bit surprising, no? You're allowed to clean your clothes on Shabbos. So, L'chod of Pshat is, Pash of Pshat, is that, yeah, it's not good mutter to clean your clothes on Shabbos when you don't use water. Why? Because Big Yisod, maybe the Yisod HaYisodos and Malach of Shabbos, is that to be a Malach on Shabbos, Chazal or Magdarit, based on Malach's Machshavis, and maybe you saw in Beit Yud Gimel, the Gemara says, Rashi says, that Melechus Machshevus translates as Melechus Omnes. It has to be a professional work type of job, right? Things that you just do as part of living aren't Melechus Machshevus. Rashi's talking there about, the Gemara says, if you pile together in your house, you pile together fruits. You have a bag of onions and it falls on the floor, and then you pick up the onions and put it in a pile. That's not the Isser of Ma'amar. Ma'amar is gathering fruit together. So that's not the Isser of Ma'amar because Melech Machshavas Asur Torah. That's not the Derech HaOmnes. It has to be an omnistic way, whatever exactly that means. It has to be in the field and done in a professional type of way. But Stam, Pasha things aren't Melechas. So too, cleaning clothing be'etzem is a Melecha. But what is? Laundering clothing. You bring your clothing to the dry cleaner. It won't be clean, but you're not going to have chunks on your clothes, right? You don't go to, if you have chunks on your clothes, you don't go to the dry cleaner to get off the mamashas. You go to launder the garments. You want to come out with a dry, clean garment, a laundered garment. But just the mamashas, you have crumbs under your clothes or whatnot. So getting that off, that's not part of Meleches Mechabes. So therefore, that's going to be mutter. The one chumrah that you hear, you really hear it almost everywhere. It's interesting that the chumrah only started with the Mishnah Brura. It's not an old chumrah. Is that the Mishnah Brura claims that you're only allowed to clean off the l'shleshes from the garment if it leaves a stain. That's at least the way the Mishnah Brura is quoted. It has to leave some sort of a stain. You can't clean it if it doesn't leave a stain behind.
So it's cholent.
So we'll leave a stain behind.
Cholent, yeah.
Probably, yeah. So it's interesting, and it's tremendous to Kimta in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says no such thing. Right? The Mishnah just says, Makamta v'smartet. That's a very big Kimta, and where does he get this from? So he gets this. It's really an original chumrah. No one said it before the Mishnah Brura, which is a good thing to know when you're cleaning your baguette, is that there could be a chumrah here, but it wasn't spoken out before the Mishnah Brura. There's another gemara. There's one gemara that talks about cleaning without water. Stam cleaning without water is mutter. That's the sort of our Mishnah. And Rashi writes that actually on Kuf Mem, Rashi writes that without water you can't have machabes. That's part of the cleaning. But there is a Gemara. The Gemara is on Kuf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says that if someone shakes off his talus, his garments, from the afar, from the dust, and you shake it off enough that before you shook it off, you couldn't wear it. You'd be makbid. You wouldn't be ready to wear it. It would look too dingy. After you shake it and get all the dirt out of it, all the dust out of it, so then you could wear it. So the Gemara says, you're chayv achatas. Chayv achatas. Like, really awesome. It's really awesome. So there's no water. So the Mishnah Berurah is bothered. How's that different than our Mishnah about Lishleshes? Lishleshes, we're saying the Stam is mutter. Right? You wouldn't go outside, you wouldn't wear your bag if it had some shalt on it, and now you clean it, and now you can wear it. Why isn't that aser? How's it different than the dust? So the Mishnah Berurah is bothered by this kasha, and the Mishnah Berurah says, oh, it must be that we're talking about you clean it, but you don't really do such a good job, and you leave a stain. That's the Mishnah Berurah writes. So I'll tell you, the lumdus is very high. It's not even so clear what he's saying. Like, how do you... He says, if it leaves a stain, so you can't really be called you clean the garment, and therefore it's okay. But really, cleaning the garment without water really would be a problem. It's a little bit strange. Like, what's he trying to... How's he... I don't say he had a kasha. Your kasha is a good kasha, but what exactly is your teretz? It's not so clear. I saw Rabbi Karp and the Archos Shabbos, most of the Rabbi Karp, who were very bothered with this chumra. But besides that, no one said it earlier. The chumra is a pashat chilak. Is that when you're cleaning dust out of a garment, that already could be called melech machshavas. You're vigorously shaking a garment, making it look brighter, making it look cleaner. There's no mamashas you're taking off. When the chunk falls on your suit, you're actually taking something off. You're wiping something off. So that's not melechadek. But with dust, so there, it's embedded in the garments, and you're doing a type of malacha that's cleaning it. Right? I would say, like, if you were to clean your hat, right? The one nice thing about wearing a hat is you get to brush your hats, right? No? Is that the funnest part of wearing a hat? I don't know. What do you say, Yaakov? Yeah, that's the funnest part. The funnest part is you take your hat, and it looks kind of dingy, and you brush, and you don't see anything in your hat. Your hat looks clean, it looks dingy. And it's this cloud of dust that comes out of your hat. And you do that enough, and then it becomes nice and wearable. You could go on a date now, right? So what is that? That's different than the lishleshes. Why? Because the lishleshes, there's actual mamushes on your clothing. You don't go to launder your garments to get the crumbs and chunks off of it. But the afar, that's something that's a process. It's a process of being metaking a beged. I mean, Shin Lamed Zayin also says the Feirish, the Ramah says you're allowed to use a brush to clean your clothes on Shabbos. Those doesn't. So this is the Chumrah Mishnah Berurah. I'm just saying I saw Rav Karp was willing to say that this Mishnah Berurah is very questionable and not clear. You have to be makbir for it. But basically, the din of Mishnah. Just mention also the Taz. Be'er Halach also takes on a Taz. A Taz in Shin Bei Zayin. So he says, what does the person do if he has some tsoa? I don't know exactly what the case is. Tsoa on his clothing and he can't daven. Right? So what do you do? So he says, and he talks about it's there's no mamashis there, but it's just, it looks a little, whatever it looks like. Right? So the task is you're allowed to rub it and rub it and rub it till it comes off, until the beged, you don't see any soil anymore. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, how can that be? He says, first of all, I mean, one thing that bothers him, his chiddush, is because you're not leaving any mark behind. He says, besides for that, he says, once it's there's no mamashis there, it's just what's embedded, the actual, you know, there's just a stain. There's no actual thing there. And you rub it so vigorously so that you get it off. He says he thinks that even with that water, that should be aser. That's his chiddush. Taz didn't hold by it, but that's his chiddush. So that's the Shittas Mishnah Berurah. So I'll just say, halacha l'maisa comes out of this. Is the Mishnah and the theme of the poskim is very stark. That really you don't have to, if you have some mashas on your beged, you could wipe it off. The one thing not to do, and even the Mishnah Berurah is not so clear what he means, but it could be that the Mishnah Berurah is just assuming everything does leave a stain. I don't know 100%. But l'maisa, the Feirush in Mishnah, you're allowed to wipe things off your clothing, so you are allowed to wipe things off your clothing. You shouldn't, once you there's no mamashas left there, and you're just rubbing it because it's what we call a stain there. I mean, you don't see anything there. You're not actually taking anything off. But by rubbing something that's dirty a lot, you'll make it clean. So that you shouldn't do. But just rubbing it to clean it would be okay. Just the last words of the Mishnah are Haisa shall ar nosen ala mayim. Says if it's a leather beged, you're allowed to pour water onto it, but you're not allowed to rub it. So that's spoken out in Zvachim, that's a beged, you're only allowed to rub it dry. A leather garment, you're allowed to pour water on it, but not rub it. And a Gemara in Zvachim, if it's hard leather, it says you're allowed to even put water and rub it. Right? Like your dishes. You can clean your dishes, that's the favorite. Even though you're putting water and rubbing. Why? So the svar is because something that's hard and unabsorbent, you're just taking off mamashas. Taking off mamashas is not any malacha. But the more something's absorbed, the more it's going to be asr. So therefore, the loshlesh is on the beged, you can only use a beged. When it's on leather, which is somewhat absorbent, or slightly absorbent, so you're allowed to pour water on it if you don't rub it. Something that's hard, it doesn't absorb at all, so you're even allowed to rub it. Right? So like a plastic tablecloth, like regular plastic, plastic cover that you use, so that doesn't absorb at all, so you'd be allowed to clean that, right? The same way you could clean your plastic cup on Shabbos. You use water and you could rub it. If it's, some say vinyl, I don't really know exactly what's meant by vinyl, but some say vinyl could get a stain and therefore you should treat it like leather. Leather would mean you could pour water on it, but you can't rub it. Right? So that's the basic din. Okay. So Hadron Allah Perchnotel. That's a nice fast parrot. And yeah.
If I have a stain on my suit, can I like this in your tongue, like coming out of the same water?
No, because once you're using water, there's a little.
I mean, is that the same? That
I'll tell you
the
like
same
this.
Thing as in water.
Right.
Your saliva.
So, saliva would be the same. Saliva would be the same. And you shouldn't use water at all. Okay.
So, what's the. You guys say on your suit, what do you do?
So, bottom line is you could rub it off. That's the bottom line. You should not. Now, many svarim will say that you have to have some sort of stain there. I don't. That's very questionable. I have a very hard time being mashed at that. But Pashas Lechem says you can rub it off. Just, you can't rub it after. And if there's not mashed that you rub it, you don't have to worry, oh, is there going to be a stain left? But if you're holding it, your suit doesn't have any mashed there. There's nothing there. It's just color. So then you shouldn't, the taz is make a leave in then. But for that, it's very good that it be machmer like this Mishnah Berurah. Because there the Mishnah Berurah is saying that now there's reason to be machmer. To say it's more like the dust in the garment. Because here, it's actually embedded in the garment. So it's closer to real kibbutz.
When you guys are like, there's dandruff on your suit, that's fine.
You could brush it off. So you could brush it off. Okay, the hat don't brush at all. Okay, save your fun for Sunday. Okay.
Perhaps.
What?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Pretty better. Okay. So now we'll start Kira. Just one point. You might have had this morning Seder. We'll see. Maybe we'll see a little different. But it's a very hard sugya. Not discuss so much, really. Just one line in the Mishnah on Mem Beis. The Mishnah says that Shemen, the Moser Shemen Shebenah, the leftover oil, which is Muksa, so that shemen, halacha says, "Einei osin mimenu." Einu osu menu translate as you should not get hanaf from it, but you should einu menu machen. You shouldn't get hanaf from it. So pashas, it sounds like muksa is asur bahana. So Mishnah says, the Feirush Mishnah. Muksa is asur bahana. So Rishonu points out that it couldn't be true. Couldn't be true in the way what asur hana means in the rest of the Torah, could not be true what it says in muksa. The Rashba in Shabbos Chavtes, he just points this out as Pashat. He says, you're allowed to use your ner. You can't use the oil from the ner, but you're allowed to use the ner, even though when the ner is burning, the light of the... You can't use the leftover oil to put into your salad, but you're allowed to use the burning oil that you see from it. You're allowed to use the wood of muksa that's in your furnace keeping your house warm. You're allowed to use that. You don't find you can't use that. Tosfos in Pesachim Chavav, he points this out also, that by Arla, which is really Asur Bahana, so you can't get any Hana from the heat. But not only that, if you bake bread on Atzei Arla, the wood you're using is Arla, it's something that's Asur Bahana, so you can't eat the bread. The bread becomes Asur. By Shabbos, that's not true. If you bake bread on Shabbos, even B'shogeg, if you were to make a fire and bake bread on Shabbos, or stam, you bake bread, you left it on from before Shabbos, it gets baked on Shabbos, so that you're allowed to eat the bread. Why are you allowed to eat the bread? Because apparently it's not Asur Bahana. So Tosfos says, like the Rashi, see, muksa is not Asur Bahana. Nevertheless, something is Asur, right? Something is Asur because our Mishnah tells us it's Asur. You can't get enough from this oil, right? Learning, basically, the Rashi points out, right? You can't eat muksa, but more than you can't eat muksa, right? You can't cover Dukisa Adam with muksa. You can't, the Rashi points out, right, you also saw this Gemara in the beginning of Beitza. It says you can't carry the egg, lechasos ba, as a kli, and lismach ba kari hamita. Right, you can't use this as a leg for your bed or as a cover for your kli. So why not? The Rashi says, because it's an isser of using the muksa. Right, you could have said it's the Isser of carrying the muksa, but it's clear it's not pshat. Why? Because if so, it would have just said you can't carry it. L'chod pshat, carrying muksa, you remember, we spoke in the first year, you're allowed to carry muksa on Yom Tov. We're talking about Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry muksa l'tzarech ochel nefesh, but you can't use muksa l'tzarech ochel nefesh. Right? Even on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to use muksa. You can't cook your food on that, say, muksa. So you can't use muksa, so therefore, this is a use of muksa, covering your kli with an egg. So Lamaisa, we see muksa does seem to be Asur Bahana. So what is it? How is it you're allowed to use the light and use the heat of it? So one teretz, not the right teretz, I don't know exactly what he meant, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he just says something Pashi says, it's because you're not allowed, basically it's what the Rashba writes. Well, he says, anytime you do something be a dayim, then it's Asur. But the heat, the light, you're not really doing anything. And a little bit like what the Rashba says. The Rashba says muksa is Asur, b'mishtamish b'muksa is Asur. Meaning you're not allowed to light the anyamtiv, even though you're allowed to light a fire on yamtiv, but you're not allowed to light atzei muksa on yamtiv. The problem is lighting it, not the hana that comes from the heat, but the lighting of it. So the way Shulchan Aruch Rav understands it is that there's a certain hana that just comes to you, memela, and then there's actively being mishtamish in the muksa, using the muksa, utilizing the muksa. Right, I assume what he had in mind, this is din by hektish, there's a halacha by hektish, that there's no hektish b'kol. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash and you're having a birthday party and as your background music you use the shir of the Leviim, so that's not me'ilah. Because that's not called being mole and hektish. But if you would take a trumpet of hektish, a harp of hektish, and for the birthday party start playing it, so that would be me'ilah. Why? Because when you're mishtamish with it, you're really using it. That's more intense. And that's what's asrei muksa, but by hana, that just passively comes to you, so that we're more meko. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav writes. Then was his Beis Halevi, so he doesn't address the Shulchan Aruch Rav, but the Beis Halevi just points out many rayos that even what seems, there's many things that seem to be using muksa, seems to be tashmish b'muksa, that afal pikein are mutter on Shabbos. Right? Sitting on a rack. Right? Even if you would kick the rack to where you want and sit on it. There's no problem sitting on a rack on Shabbos. Right? Aren't you using the rack? Or the straw on the bed. Right? The straw on the bed, we say you let it move with your body and you can get a good night's sleep on the straw, even though the straw is muksa. Why isn't that? Isn't that using muksa? The Gemara in Bemet Tomnim talks about being tomein, keeping your pot, your hot pot, warm by putting it into wool. Raw wool shearings, that's muksa. Shearings meaning cuts of wool. So it's muksa. Afal pikein, you're allowed to put your pot into it. It'll keep the pot warm. Right, there's a pile of wool and there's a hole in the pile of wood. You can put your pot in there, even though that's going to keep the pot warm. There's a Gemara, there's a Mishnah on Laman Ches in Kira. We'll see if we nether after we finish Maksin Yanim. It talks about cooking an egg by using hot dirt, hot sand, putting into a pile of hot sand and having that cook your egg. And the Gemara has no problem with the fact that it's using muksa. The sand is muksa. And you're using the heat of the sand. So why is the Chores using it? Right? You know, we mentioned once there's a Mishnah Berurah that says that if your bedroom's dark, you would be allowed. He says it's mostly like an Alam D'Shah Indian. I don't know if you should really do this, but he says you're allowed to use the backs of your hands to carry a lit candle to carry it to your bedroom to give light. That's using muksa. Isn't that using muksa? So many cases, it seems that we are allowed to use muksa. One of them I found that was amazing, and it's actually a rashi we did. I was shocked to see that. I didn't notice the rashi. I wasn't shocked that I didn't notice it, but it was still shocked. Rabbi Akiva Eiger makes a point. He has the end of Noto. He has an amazing diak from a rashi there. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes that you are allowed to feed your animal with muksa on Shabbos. Even muksa mamish, you're allowed to put it in front of your animal to feed him. How? So he says like this, he quotes a rashi in end of on Kuf Mem Gimel. So it talks about what to do with the pits of your date pits on Shabbos. So it says you're allowed to move them because they're like a graf shel re'ei. They're disgusting, so you're allowed to move them off the table. So it says Rashi, notlin osan mipanav, you're allowed to pick up these pits from in front of you, ke graf shel re'ei, venosim lebehema, and you're allowed to feed them to your animal. Right, you got the case? It's muksa, you're allowed to move it because it's disgusting. Right? Disgusting to be around, but not too disgusting to pick up in your hand. You're allowed to pick it up with your hand and then go feed it to your animal who eats date pits. Okay? So, okay, good. So you're allowed to carry it because it's disgusting. Rashi is telling you, Chiddush, once you pick it up, you're allowed to go feed it to your animal. But, how are you allowed to use muksa? Right? Well, l'chayra, that should have, I would have thought that should have been nasa, right? Because you're using muksa, you're putting it in front of your animal. So he says, Rav Akiva Eiger says, you see, there's no problem with feeding your animal muksa. Right, b'chlal, if you ever take your animal out to eat the grass outside, which is the favorite you'll add to on Shabbos, the grass is muksa, it's not a problem. So this Rav Akiva Eiger is in Shin Chaf Ches Sif Yud Aleph. So you see, there seems to be many cases you're not allowed to use muksa, and many cases where you are allowed to use muksa. So what's the pshat? What's the difference? So I would suggest the yisoid is what's the iser of using muksa? Why is it aser? Right, so it sounds a little bit like Isser Hana. I would say it has nothing to do with Isser Hana. The problem of using muksa is based on what we spoke about at the beginning of the year, Rabba, Hachana de Rabba, the Hachana of Rabba that's mentioned in Pesachim and Zayim. Right, the Havamin of Rabba, you could call it. That there's an Isser, Lo Sasa Malacha, if you use muksa, if you light wood of muksa, because it's being making the object for use. Doing hachana, an act of hachana, an act of designating an object for use on Shabbos is a malacha. Right? Just like cooking is a malacha, you're taking raw meat and making it into dinner. So too hachana, where you're designating and imbuing an object with purpose, giving a tachlis, is Issur D'Oraisa. Right, so we don't hold like Rava, right? You learn basics, I'm sure you know that by now. There's a half a mina, right? Unless possibly a few Rishonim do it, but Pashtus, so we don't hold like Rava. But what's the Yisod? The Yisod of Ishtamshis B'muksa, we could suggest, is giving an object purpose. Making it a kli, or something like a kli, giving it a purpose for human usage. Taking a raw object that's part of the stamp, part of the natural world, and giving it tachlis. Right, so eating for sure, but more than eating, using it as a bottle cap. You're taking something that's muksa, and you're giving it hachana, you're giving it purpose. It has become a bottle cap. Making it into the foot of a bed. Covering, using it as something to cover blood. Right, it's maybe a little harder to hear, but it's giving a purpose. It's become a blood cover. It's getting that purpose. The oil, right? Let's say this oil. Let's say I can't carry this oil, but to get enough from it. Let's say I have chapped lips, and I put my chapped lips in the oil, the muksa oil, right? I don't. That's going to be usher. Because why? Because I'm turning it into moisturizing cream. You know, I'm taking something. You're making something. You're giving something a new purpose. I would say in all the cases that are mutter using muksa is because you're not giving them anything new that they didn't have before. Right? The most pasha cases will be when you sit on a rack. You sit on a rack. The rack is not becoming a chair. Right? You could argue why is the rack not becoming a chair? Who says it's not becoming a chair? But I would argue that part of the natural life of a rack is you could sit on it. Right? We walk on the earth, even though it's muksa on Shabbos, because the earth is muksa. But that's I'm not giving it anything. I'm not making it into anything more a kli. It's not becoming a kli. The rack is still just a rack. It's just being sat on. Or walked on, or I haven't used the rack. Right? The rack's not becoming a kli to do anything. It's just, it's being used as the raw material that it is. I can say it like that. The straw. You're sleeping on straw. Straw is raw material, and one thing you could do on straw is to sleep on it. Right? When I make the egg into a bottle cap, so now it's functioning as a bottle cap. It's not what it was before, right? I'm let it lie on the ground, and I'm allowed to lie on straw. That's not creating a kli. That's not something that gives the kli. Even the wool, right? The raw wool, it's insulating the pot. So it's interesting. You can't move the wool. You can't. The Gemara says that you're only allowed to put your pot into this hollow in the pile of wool if the hollow was there. If you're not making a new hollow, the hollow is already there. So all you're doing is inserting the pot into this groove. You insert it into the groove. You're not doing anything to the wool. You're not making the wool into a kli. Happens to be, when a pot is surrounded on all sides, it's not going to lose its heat as fast. Right? There's a hole in the ground, I put a pot on there. It's not going to lose its heat so fast. But it's not that I'm turning the grounds into something, right? The egg, if I cook the egg by putting it on the sand is just sand, right? I'm not being mylet to a higher tachlis of human usage, right? It's not becoming any level of kli. It's just as a raw material. So this is how it works. When I light wood, so that's asa. Why? Because I'm making it into something. It was wood, and now it's fuel. It's a heat source. It's doing something. Right? Your use isn't just coming from taking benefit of the fact that this raw material exists. You're putting it to use. When you put something to use, that's what's like, yeah.
Is it accurate to say divided if you're being active or passive and you're using the mukta?
So,
you're not doing anything,
so maybe
strong.
You could say that, but I don't know if that's going to be sharp enough to like catch every case, because you are. Let's say like this, okay? I would say the same thing. This maybe will bring it up more. What if I carry the candle, right, with a shinoi, and we hold that smutter? So I'm actively using it. Or let's say Rabbi Akiva Eger's case. That's really shocking. I move the food in front of the animal. Right? So that l'chaira, I'm being active. So I would tell you, yeah, you're being active, but, okay? All right, we'll think it through before you, okay? You should go on an attack, but first think it through. So the grass is food for an animal. That's what it is. It's not being used, that's what it is. When I put it in front of the animal, that's going to encourage the animal to eat it. Okay? But it was food. I didn't turn it into food just by changing its position. I didn't do anything to it. I just put it in front of the animal. Right? The same thing with the candle. Okay? Yeah? The candle, I move the burning candle from my dining room to my bedroom. I'm actively using it. But the candle was a candle before. It gave that light before. It gives that light now. I didn't turn it into a candle. Yeah, Ruvi, what do you think? Could you hear? We're trying. It's a little bit. Yeah.
Hachana is the problem, meaning because you're giving it a new purpose.
That's the way I understand. Hachana means giving it a new tachlis. When you use it as a raw material, so that's not giving it a new tachlis. That's what it is. And therefore, that's mutter.
But what was that? Why was that the problem? It's not
because I'm understanding that the iser of hana, or the iser of stamshus, what the iser is giving something, is vehechinu. Just like Rabbah says, the havamin of Rabbah was lo sasakom malacha, that's a malacha. Because you're transforming something and giving it tachlis, making it, saying, declaring it as usable for a certain purpose. It's like turning it into a kli or something or fuel, turning it into it. That is the iser. Where stam the hanaf from it, where you're not making a change in the chefza, so that's mutter. Yeah. Okay. So you'll think if you have kashas, you can't answer. I've been back and forth with this a lot, but there's definitely some cases you could think about. Maybe I'm going to sound 100% clear, but okay. So just another point that I think brings this out in the Gemara. In Pesachim Memches, the Gemara is Gemara of Rabbah. Statements quoted there from Rabbah, and based on this Gemara says Rabbah was Choser. Some of you also the Gemara. We'll just say the point the Gemara makes. The Gemara makes a point regarding Karbanos. That Rabbah says you're allowed to bring a carbon of muksa on Shabbos. Meaning to say, you don't bring Karbanos on Shabbos, but the carbon tamid. Right? Let's say the carbon tamid. So normally the tamid was prepared before Shabbos, and it's prepared for use. But what if you didn't have a tamid prepared for use? You don't know what you're going to do. You don't have a keves. In walks a keves from the wild, a wild keves. right? A sheep, but one that was abandoned and comes in. No one prepared this for use. The male of this kevis is muksa. So you're makir that as the carbon tamid. It's not so surprising, right? Even the tiltal muksa would be asir, but of course this is a carbon on Shabbos and carbonos for docha Shabbos. So you bring the kevis. But the Gemara has a problem. The problem is that a carbon is only kosher if it's edible to a person. Because the mashki Yisrael has to be something that Yisrael could eat. Right? This isn't totally true. Blood and chaylev are brought on the mizbeach. But something that's aser can't be brought on the mizbeach. So therefore, let's say you're bringing a carbon mincha, but the mincha, you didn't take off trumas and maestros. So the carbon's going to be pasul because it's a carbon that wasn't fit to be eaten. So asks Rabbi Lechora, this carbon tamid should be not be a kosher carbon because it's not fit to be eaten because it's muksa, and we know you can't eat muksa. So says Rabbi, Mimashki Yisrael. That's a drasha. Carbonos have to be mutter yisrael. Yotza muksa. But this excludes muksa, that muksa is kasher for a carbon. She ain isur gufo garam lo, el isur davar acher garam lo. Because it's not isur gufo. It's not because the chefs of isur. It's isur davar acher. L'chor what meaning to say, the isur v'shtamshas b'muksa is not an isur chefs. It's not that there's anything wrong with using or getting hana from the muksa. It's isur davar acher. It's because by being makir of the carbon, you're doing an iser, which is what? You're taking the kevis and you're turning it into a carbon. In the chinami, that would be aser. But it's iser drabbanan, and it's in the mikdash, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. But the carbon, the gufa carbon is kosher because this is not something that mitzat atzmo is aser b'achila. So that just brings up this point that what the iser of using muksa is not mitzad the chefza, it's just a din of giving tachlis is aser on Shabbos. So one last point on this. Maybe you could use this to answer kasha. Very short kasha. Kasha's in Primi Gadim. I don't know if this is on the Marmon Komos. Maybe it is a tough tzadi test. Eishalav Ramsif Katan Yur Aleph. Prima Gun as a kasha, maybe as the kasha yourself, it's a pretty posh kasha. We saw in Kol Kalim, talks about an Ali. Right? You remember the Ali? The Ali is a, I don't know what translates says, maybe an anvil. It's something that's used for crushing the chemicals, the ingredients that you use for tanning leather. So this is something that's muksa machmas chasaron kis, it's muksa on Shabbos. You would never use this for anything else besides for crushing your ingredients. But despite that fact, that's muksa machmas chasaron kis, something happened and you absolutely have to use it to cut your meat on for Shabbos, for Yom Tov. So you're allowed to use it to ochel nefesh is docha tiltal muksa, and you're allowed to take out of the cupboard, take out your ali, and use it to cut the meat. And the Gemara says afterwards, it's muksa, because it really is muksa, but l'tzorach ochel nefesh, you're allowed to move the ali. Shaila is, ask the Primi Gadim. We know tiltal muksa on Yom Tov is mutter for ochel nefesh. But hishtamshus b'muksa for ochel nefesh is asur even on Yom Tov. Meaning I'm not allowed to light a fire of muksa, atzei muksa, to cook on Yom Tov. Because using muksa is asur on Yom Tov. I'm not allowed to shech, I'll smach, that I could use muksa afer to do kisei hadam. So I'm not allowed to be mushtamish in muksa on Yom Tov. So if so, why am I allowed to cut the meat on the ali? That's the thing that goes with kasha. So, based on what we said, maybe there's different things you could suggest, but Pashas, I would think that this is a very hard, it's a hard surface, and this L'chaira is using it as a kli. So says the Primi Gadim, he doesn't explain it well enough, maybe he wanted me to explain it, he says, the Isser of Ishtamshis but muksa is only by muksa machmas gufo. Muksa machmas gufo means things that are be'etzem yitza asan muksa. But he says, but a kli that's muksa, right? Which kli which muksa for us means muksa machmas kesar and kiss. A kli that's muksa, there's no isser of using it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So he says that he doesn't explain it. He doesn't explain why that would be. So I would just explain like this. The isser of shtamshus b'muksa is dafkas nagas muksa machmas gufo, because you are transforming something that's muksa machmas gufo, meaning it's something that has no shaykhus to human usage. It wasn't mukhan for usage. It's not mukhan b'chlam. And you're giving it hachana. As opposed to the ali is mukhan. It's your ali. This is something that's used for banging on. It's used to be an anvil. You're using a yomtiv. It wasn't mukhan for yomtiv. On yomtiv, it has no purpose because it's kasar and kiss. So tiltal is aser. Anything with no tachlis, coming into yomtiv had no tachlis, no yomtiv dikka tachlis whatsoever. It's machmas chasar and kiss. Not even as a secondary use. You think you'd never use it for yomtiv. So mele you can't carry it. But there's no iser of hashtamshus because iser hashtamshus is because you're turning something into a kli. You're not turning into a kli. It's already a kli. So mele says the Primi Gadim in muksa machmas chasar and kiss. There's no iser of hashtamshus. Okay, so that's a machshava. Okay, all right.